Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact post show. It's June 13th, 2024. I am at Joel Pearl, and the lovely, fantastic Cresta Starr is here with me. Before I tell her, hi, how are you? And say how high are you? Because I'm not talking at her. I'm talking with her. First of all, yes, we're doing this very hastily in the ways that I've started this for the audio listeners, because we have a lot to talk about tonight. Against All Odds is tomorrow. There's a lot coming from the TNA side of things, the NXT and the WWE partnership side of things. There was a Hardy Compound gimmick that went on tonight. My voice is cracking because of the way that I feel about it. Cresta Starr, how are you? And go.
I am doing much better than you are. I was thoroughly sports entertained while you were sports drained this evening. I thought tonight's episode of TNA was 10 out of 10, no notes. I don't care if you disagree. I had a great time. There is so much going into tomorrow. I cannot wait. This was my first Hardy Compound shenanigans stunt shows. But as a fine connoisseur of drag, mama, this was camp. And I died. I lived to be reborn in the lake of reincarnation. This was, I lived. It was so good. I'm looking forward to the PCO marriage.
That'll perk me up. That's coming. That's good. Listen, this is how this show is going to be very different from other ones Cresta and I have done. Obviously, I have a few more years of pro wrestling viewership under my belt. That doesn't make me better or worse than anyone. It just means I have a little more experience watching 27 other Hardy Compound match segment things. What I was going to say before I decided to just start the audio thing was, how do I put this lightly? The first time he did it, there were no kids and barely a wife. And now there's a small village at the Hardy Compound. And like, we'll talk about it. But like I said in the crossover, it was all a dream. And I appreciate the fact that Matt Hardy put the emphasis on getting his kids SAG after credits on this, giving them roles and speakies. That's great. It's hard to work with child actors, Cresta. It's hard to work with child actors.
I mean, I thought there were laws against that, number one.
Not with the parents.
I hate it, but you're right. Number two, did you want it to be real life? Again, for our audio listeners, I said this in the crossover. I saw a woman get beheaded this evening. Having it be a dream is for the best on a show that a man has gotten shanked, buried alive. Another man has been set on fire, but battery acid put in his mouth, shocked to death on a weekly basis. People get bit. There's a man literally being patient zero. Please.
the problem becomes that at the end of the day, all of this gets settled in a professional wrestling match, which, like, the Hardys, honestly, you go back and watch the first Hardy Compound stuff, they did do matches in the ring. They've done the Hardy Compound stuff in TNA, in WWE, in AEW. Honestly, if they had their way, they'd probably bring it to MLW at some point, just to say they've crossed all the streams. With that in mind, when you have to then have this is all building to a match in the ring between Moose and Matt Hardy. And now with the news that we'll get to shortly about Jeff Hardy and his impending departure from AEW and where that's going to lead. If you're listening to a TNA post show, I think you can probably, you know, bet $5 on FightfulSelect.com or wherever that you might be seeing Jeff Hardy very shortly in the aforementioned post show comments.
I mean, I don't hate it. Not for nothing. I do agree with what Matt and Jeff were saying towards the end of their AEW time, that we're not really being used. Let them go have fun. You know what I mean? Let the brothers lead each other. Let them go have fun.
Of course. I'm okay with that. And we'll talk about that and so much more. But obviously you can tell tonight's show did a number on both of us in different ways. And if you want to do a number on us, how about you go ahead and leave a thumbs up on the video, subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. And of course, Fightful Select is the best $5 in the business. We'll talk about that shortly and all of the news and content we drop there. And also, you want to donate a super chat? Go ahead. Any amount, get your question or statement right on the air. Will Chisholm kicks us off saying, I haven't seen Joel this stressed since he lost GYV and Ava Rain as family members. I'm going to gain a whole new family this Monday on Raw and Corpus Christi, baby. Where am I? We'll find out. Or you can go to humperchats.com. Cresta, tell them how, when, why, and how.
You head on over to humperchats.com. You put your comment in like, hey, Cresta, why did you like the Hardy Compound match so much? I'll give you my solicited answer at that point. You put your dollar amount in. We keep a little bit more. It keeps the light on. Humperchats.com. Ding.
Moose and Matt Hardy is now a broken rules match. Okay. And they just announced PCO versus Rich Swann. That is
official. Joel, you literally look so stressed. Like, I want to believe this is a work, but like, you're literally just like, and then now this, oh Lord.
I think people know that I do a morning show on Fightful Overbooked on our sister channel. I'm very proud of that show. It's called In the Weeds. If you go and listen to it, it's 10 a.m. till noon Eastern. We talk about wrestling from all over the place. That's because my schedule dictates that I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning every day. That was, you know, and I do the TNA post show, and you all know that I love TNA and that I love doing this show and I love hanging out with y'all. And Cresta is one of my favorite people in the world. I'm not stressed. And I feel bad coming onto these shows and being like, I'm tired. Cause it's not that I'm tired. Cause then people are just like, well, then why am I here? Cause I'm still energetic and I'm still here to talk about it. Joel seems like he's just starting to rapidly.
Yeah, that's so. How I feel. To like, I feel like you're like, I got this. And then that Hardy Compound match happened. And for me, it was the next 10,000 years of cinema.
I think it's just because I've seen it 20,000 times. So I love being here and I love doing this. And no one can ever take that away from me. Well, I mean, Sean could, but he's not going to. At least I had to do something pretty bad to get that way. But yeah, we'll talk about the show tonight. We'll talk about all the other stuff. We're going to preview Against All Odds. We'll give our predictions because the show is tomorrow. We are doing a post show. I will be awake as I am here. We will be talking about it. There will be a lot of newsworthy elements coming out of that show. I can tell you now, it's sold out, which is fantastic. Looking forward to covering that show. So we will be live here on Fightful.com, on YouTube.com/Fightful. We'll do it. We'll have fun with it. You ready to talk about TNA Impact for June 13th?
Yes, sir. I honestly had a good time with this episode. All things considered, I know we have very differing opinions, but I had a great time.
That's fair. Let's talk about it. Because again, that's the dichotomy of you and I as a fan. We see things differently and that's okay. Santana opens up, defeats Zachary Wentz. Shout out to Trey Miguel for being the best exaggerated dickhead ringside guy ever. I thought it was hilarious. His selling was great. This all basically breaks down. Wentz hits a front-facing headlock DDT. Macklin stops Trey Miguel from getting involved in the match. that allows Santana to hit spin the block out of nowhere while Wentz is in midair. The finish looked fantastic. And Santana gets the win. Macklin and Santana stare each other down, but it looks like they're looking on the same page for this this upcoming match. What do you think of Santana and Wentz opening the show?
I want to talk about that ending third sequence when he caught that rolling buck 50 into the dive from Santana and then caught that Death Valley driver, which looked like it landed Wentz right on the top of his head. Santana is so fast and he's so powerful. He's one of those people like Keith Lee. You don't expect him to be so fast because of his height and his weight. This match at the end was so good. The pump kick for pump kick to the knee, showing that Wentz ain't no slouch either. But also, Miguel, I would be afraid. Shout out to, listen, I'm a Steve Macklin apologist now. Listen, here I am being a flip-flop. I don't care. I like that these guys are on the same page. It's going to suck when they turn on each other, but I'm ready for it. This was a really good opener. Really good opener.
Like we talked about before, I don't think that this ends with Santana and Macklin turning on each other. I really do think this is two guys who realized they are so similar as human beings from different backgrounds, but with similar kind of attitudes and similar just professional views, that they're going to always respect each other, but they're always going to want to one-up each other in the ring. So it's jockeying for position, but right now it's the enemy of my enemy is also my friend. So they're going to play that out. I'm hoping that this ends with both men kind of just saying, we did it. It's done. You know, don't expect me to help you again. And then somewhere down the line, they help each other again. But like, there's just that hidden respect between the two and they just move on from there.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I do hope it's that situation. I do think maybe it might not be a one and done right quite as yet. I think the Rascals are jerks. I think that they're not going to let this go.
That's fair. I'd love to see the Rascals continue to be just shit disturbers. That's fine. They're so good at it. I also am wondering if the TNA crossover with WWE gets more heated up. Does Wesley get involved? And on which show do they show up? And does it make sense to do it? Because heels in TNA, very over babyface in NXT. Can you make that work? How can you make that work? Gallus in NXT are the only team that would make sense, as you know, you got to support your friends. That's the only team that like everyone would just cheer for because everyone would hate Gallus. Whereas like TNA fans, and I mean that because like that's just the Gallus presentation. Nobody's like, yeah, I love Mark Coffey. It's like, no, they're just like, I really hate these guys. I don't like their characters. It's the same thing. Who did we talk about this recently? There's somebody on the show that we're frequently talking about. It was like a perfect heel.
It's not Chris. Masha Slamovich.
No, it's somebody else that I'm completely just I'm forgetting right now. Matt Hardy. No, it's not Matt Hardy. sorry. The idea being though that you've got to find a team that's going to be so dastardly that they outweigh the depth chart on both shows, because that's what you're
doing. Oh, the system, like Moose and Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards, all of them. Yes.
Yeah. They're a group that nobody says, man, I really like the system, or I have to respect this. No, nobody says that. Everyone just says these guys suck. Kazarian's another good example in the chat. Like they're a team that are completely hated, universally hated. So you can do that with partnering Wesley back with Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz.
I agree. And I do see in chat as well, there has been a lot of Rascal chatter. I don't want to say I'm chronically online, but I am someone who does read a lot of tweets and a lot of wrestling ramblings. And I would personally, as someone who only has that nostalgia from what I see on clips, I would like to see that interaction. But again, how do you make someone who's a complete baby face right now interact with people who are spray painting people in the face? You let them get corrupted. Is it a good heel turn for someone, or is it a good heel turn for or face turn for somebody else? It could work in either favor if you think about it hard enough, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, speaking of people that people want to cheer but are doing a great job at getting hated, Mustafa Ali sits down with Tom Hannifin. Everybody hates Tom Hannifin. No, I'm just kidding. Hannifin does such a tremendous job being that babyface interviewer in this setting. Ali does the perfect job of being deflecting politician, POS. He knows exactly who he's pulling from. He knows exactly who he's talking about. It may be someone who was just on a very impulsive show this past week, but either way, Ali is doing the best character work he's done. And I've talked about this multiple times. He's been given those opportunities to do it, knocks it out of the park. And the whole idea here is just deflect. Every time Hannafin mentions something, deflect it, bring up the nonsense. He does this character work so stupidly well. And then Ali just shuts down the interview when Hannafin asks about ducking Speedball. And I say to myself, baby, Slammiversary, we're doing it. Montreal, a big match for Speedball. What do you think of this whole thing?
This was when I knew TNA was really going to be good tonight. This segment was so good. I don't know how to describe how I'm about to say this, because I mean this with the utmost respect. Ali was being a piece of crap, and I lived for every second of it. When he was like, I know what you're talking about, like term limits, but I was trying to help it keep it healthy. And while you're focusing on the time that I stabbed that child, you're not focusing on the opportunity I gave their brothers more to eat. I'm like, yo, you, this is great. This is so good. This is so good. And right when you said, right when Hannafin was like, yo, but aren't you really ducking Speedball? And Champion said, hey, we're done with questions here. I was like, oh, such good shit, pal. I loved this. I really like this. Ali is doing some peak heel work. This is another guy that, unlike the system, and I'm not saying the system can't wrestle, but Ali be doing some stuff. He be doing some stuff and things in that ring. We were like, why you gotta be a jerk? Ugh. It's so good. You want to hate him, but he's so good. And this is good. What a good time to be a TNA fan right now. This is perfection to me. 10 out of 10, no notes, Tokyo Dome, 100,000 people.
Well, I will say that one thing I don't necessarily love is that they are looking past the match this Friday. They are kind of looking past Trent 7. They're looking more at Speedball. They're looking more towards, you know, what's potentially going to happen at Slammiversary. And someone in the chat asks, you know, does Speedball win in Montreal? There's a part of me that thinks, yes, that's a big moment. But there's another part of me that thinks, if I'm in Ali's head, I try to make this go all the way until November. Why November, Cresta Star?
Unfortunately for us Americans, election month. Disgusting.
The only problem with that is that there are no other TNA pay-per-views after October on the books. Well, I mean, traditional pay-per-views, the big, big events. You know, Against All Odds is considered a premium live event. It's a $10 thriller show versus a $30, $40 pay-per-view like Slammiversary. There are no tentpole pay-per-views after Bound for Glory in October. So if you're trying to build to a big Ali drops the title moment after the election and it's a big, you know, politician loses everything, then you get there. But when? You could do it in October. You could do it at, you know, at Bound for Glory. But honestly, doing it with Speedball in Montreal, making that a big moment, that's hard to deny as an opportunity, because they haven't been in Montreal in almost 15 years.
I don't hate either idea. And also, that's a good shout. I do think that is a good call about looking past Trent 7, because I think that, say, putting the idea that he is ducking Speedball is also like putting the idea that, well, we already know you're going to beat Trent 7, which I think, what if Trent 7 wins? I think the best man will win and he's got to beat the hell out of each other. But like you said, the Montreal moment is rare, but also the November moment would be like, I don't know. That's a tough call.
John Alba, who hosts the Extreme Life Matt Hardy podcast, pipes in and says, Moose almost came out of the lake of reincarnation as me. John, plug your ears when we get to that segment. I have a lot to say.
I was sports entertained. Joe Pearl was sports disappointed.
We'll talk about it. Some have already heard my thoughts. It's not that I didn't appreciate it. It's just that I've seen some of this before. We'll talk about it soon. The Hex confront Masha after Lish walks off because she's so stressed about going to the Hardy compound. And then Marty Bell gets a win over Masha Slamovich. This is all setting up Knockouts tag team championship match at Against All Odds. They're doing that on the countdown tomorrow night. It's going to be the Hex. That's Allison Kay and Marty Bell, one of the only longstanding I don't know, they're not even knockouts tag teams. They're just a tag team, a women's tag team that exists. They're coming in to take on Masha Lisha, or I guess they're known as the Militia.
Sure.
The match with Marty and Masha was fine. The idea here is Allison Cage has got leverage. Masha, you know, Masha lost the match via roll-up.
I mean, to be fair, my only note is Masha is really just bullying this girl. Okay. Oh, cheating. Marty Bell roll-up, the most devastating move in the game with Cage help. That was literally the match. There's nothing wrong with that. Respectfully, these women beat each other up. More Masha D being a... I swear I can speak English. More Masha beating up Marty Bell. But...
not tonight. and by the way, yes, I agree with John. Wrestling is absolutely, it's subjective. That's the beauty of the art. When we disagree, we don't hate each other. I mean, maybe we do. Maybe we do.
I actually hate this guy. I hate this guy. And I love Joel Pearl. Joel Pearl is honestly my favorite.
Don't tell the people. They'll get confused. AJ Francis and First Class are on stage with Gia Miller. Before this all started, AJ Francis stole PCO's Black Rose while Steph DeLander and Zaya Brookside are backstage, kind of wondering, what do I do? And of course, AJ Francis has no freaking clue that he took the rose. So lights on, lights off while they're on the stage. PCO attacks First Class because they took the rose. He gets the rose. Security backed them off. And tomorrow night, we discover Steph DeLander's answer to PCO. The build to the wedding begins, Cresta Star. It's happening. Dun, 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 dun. How do you do that in French? Ho, 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 ho.
I will not offend our French viewers.
I will.
You can do that. You're Canadian. I'm a stupid American. I already got a lot going against me.
It's fine by me. I love the idea that Zaya Brookside is invested in this because she just loves love. She just wants to love. She got involved with this whole thing because of the match where PCO showed up from under the ring while Steph DeLander had the match with Zaya Brookside. Now she's just like, I want to be friends with you because love. And it's cute and stupid, but it's perfect. She's going to be the best, the maid of honor at the wedding.
This, honestly, I was so sports entertained by the Hardy compound that all is forgiven. I kind of forgot about this. And now that you've reminded me, it's so fun. It was great. I loved it, in fact.
Because of this, we're going to get PCO versus Rich Swann tomorrow night at Against All Odds. So it's all just coming together.
Rich Swann is going to pass away.
I mean, AJ Francis will be there. So I'm sure there'll be some sort of eventual digital media championship match at a taping. And that'll be that. Someone saying that to, you know, Steph and Zaya become a team. Sure. Why not? I want to see this all end with one of two things. They do the wedding, they get to Slammiversary. And, you know, does anyone have any reason why these two should not be joined together? You either have Mance Warner come out. He's current GCW world champion. And he's like, no, she's my girlfriend. What are we doing here? Or Matt Cardona comes back because that's how we started until Cardona unfortunately got himself injured. So if he's able to come back in time, fantastic. If we can get there, I'm all for it.
I agree with that. I mean, I feel like that's where it's heading. I hope it's Matt Cardona. I don't watch GCW because if you guys watch our show, thank you so much. But I am Big Baby, and GCW is notorious for blood. Shenanigans, yes, but blood also, yes. And I am too soft.
Shenana blood.
Disgusting.
Doesn't hit the same. Danny Luna defeats Tasha Steelz. She starts off, first of all, this match kicks, really just finishes off. There's a rope-assisted blue thunderbomb that looks good from Danny Luna. And then Luna overpowers Steelz to hit the Luna landing for the win. It's a big celebration from Spitfire. Onward, upward they go. And Lars Fredrickson backstage says, I got a big, you know, a big challenge for you to bump you up the card. So I guess that's coming up at the tapings because they didn't announce anything for Against All Odds. Anything to add?
I will say that Luna landing at the end, when she readjusted from, I guess it was a Hurricane Rana back to her on her shoulders to... Danny Luna, I want you again versus Jordan Grace just because meet, and it was great. Who said it last week? Skirt steak. I love.
Skirt steak. That's very funny. You're right. That was good. Spitfire, man, again, this is a tag team. I'm glad they're not splitting them up, or at least seemingly not. I do like that they're doing a teasing of like, okay, they were fresh, they were new, they got a win, then they lost. Now they're trying to reestablish themselves. So this, if this is a tag team that's going to stick around like the Hex does, then maybe this is the story you tell. Maybe the Hex win the TNA Knockouts tag titles, and maybe you have Spitfire reestablish themselves, and at Slammiversary, the Hex drop the tag titles to the Spitfire.
I mean, it's also nice. Something that I've been personally complaining about is, well, not complaining, just critiquing, because we don't say I used to complain, just critiquing about, we want more Knockouts tag teams. And this is a great way to keep them together and the Hex. I mean, I don't know what Rosemary's doing, being Raven in the rafters, but we've got more girls, you know what I mean, than normal. Masha Lisha, and I feel like I'm missing somebody.
There are plenty. No, I'm just kidding. There aren't that many tag teams. There's like 3-4 at a time.
My point is moot. Never mind.
Someone already pointed it out. They just kind of show up once, and they're either a tag team that exists, and or they're a new tag team, and then they win the tag titles, or there's another tag team that exists, and then they split up and they feud. Like, there's, this has been kind of the problem with establishing a Knockouts tag division or any women's tag division in wrestling, is that often they just kind of don't stick around very long. They exist, they win, then they lose and split up. WWE did that with the women's tag division forever. You could scout it from a mile away. If they weren't a established tag team, then they were split up and put aside.
Absolutely. I will say, when I first started watching wrestling, if we talk about WWE specifically, you had the Iconics or the Riot Squad. Anybody else, who are you? You know, and again, this is not just a critique of TNA. I think this is a critique of a lot of women's division, that your tag teams are, we put you together, we have one established team, a Franken team, an enhancement team, and then we cycle them out. I wish there were established teams. I think there are enough women who aren't doing anything at the moment, but that's just my opinion.
I think we're going to start seeing a little bit more here and there, but for now, getting Spitfire those essential story wins, that's going somewhere. Originally, I was under the impression that they were going to do what a lot of companies do, and that is they won the big one, then they lost, and now they're going to lose. Crisis of conscience, one turns on the other, that's it. Now it's starting to feel like, could they cast that seed of doubt later on? Absolutely. The loser between the two on the death chart, the loser was Jody Threats. So Jody has means to get upset about that and be jealous down the line if they wanted to go there. But instead, they're going to hopefully play it up as, you two can win. You just need to figure out how to win singularly and then as a team. And I'm hoping that that builds them up as a tag team moving forward. And we stop doing the individual matches just to make them feel better. Start pushing them as an actual tag team in a division that unfortunately doesn't have a lot of tag teams.
I mean, I agree. I kind of never understood making your tag team do singles matches if they're supposed to be learning how to work in cohesion. They're already singles wrestlers, especially if they're like, quote unquote, a Franken team. Why not have them train together? Why not go against other tag teams? So they learn how to, if you're going to cheat, cheat. If you're going to know, if you're going to play it straight, when to tag in, knowing your partner, when not to make sure they tap or when to jump in. I don't know. It does, to me, like you said, it doesn't make sense to do it for to make somebody else feel good when you as a tag team should be doing tag team stuff.
Folks, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are getting into the meatiest of the meaty part of the show. Joe Hendry's backstage with Gia Miller. This kind of kicks off some very interesting commentary from a lot of people, a lot of different takes on this. Hendry says he wants to level up, learn a thing or two, wants to be taken seriously as a main event player, and he wants to become the best in the world. So he took on the services of Ace Steel, who, of course, you know, CM Punk's best friend. Ace Steel has connections to TNA and to CM Punk and to Chicago as well. And he says he'll help Hendry destroy the glass ceiling that he's currently hiding under. In walks Frankie Kazarian. I love that Kazarian mentions putting on a clinic, and Hendry just shouts back, "Oh, that patient died because you lost the match."
He killed him. He was like, that was a clinic. The patient died. I was like, yo, Kazarian, you got to fight that man.
that was it. And then Kazarian's like, well, kings are not taught, they are born. I'm like, that's not a good thing. Why do you think that's a good thing? And then Ace makes Joe Hendry versus Kazarian tomorrow night at Against All Odds. So I saw that some discourse, I saw a few people saying, you know, Ace Steele with Joe Hendry is not something they wanted. I'm on the other side of that. I think Ace Steele, first of all, the connection to Chicago. Second of all, the connection to winning and having champions and having a pedigree. Ace Steele is not known dominantly as the person who was involved in an AEW altercation in 2021. That has kind of moved forward for a lot of people. And some people don't even know about it. They just know he's a guy from Chicago. He's well-liked there and he's connected to CM Punk. He's his best friend. Joe Hendry wants to be better, and this is the guy who'll do it. And putting him in a match with Kazarian is a very good way to kickstart that. What were your thoughts with everything? Because I saw it in your face. I don't know if you agreed.
No, I was, at first, I was like, wow, what the hell? I'm trying not to swear because I'm trying to hold back my answer because I was sports entertained. I remember us talking about how we love Joe Hendry and this viral moment that he's having, making these songs and whatnot. But how do you transition from being a, I can beat you up, you're Joe Hendry's bitch, you know, to someone being taken seriously? I think what he's doing now, and especially getting someone like Steele, for better or for worse, whether you like him or not, this is a good look because Steele has a name to him. Like Joel said, he has a pedigree behind him and he has a connection to CM Punk. And whether you like that man or not, he puts butts in seats. This is great for Joe Hendry in his own merit. I'm sorry, I'm super congested, y'all. For Joe Hendry in his own merit, who's having a super viral moment with making his music trying to chart with his music actually charting, I think, like number two or number three. And I don't want to say the wrong thing. And then Joe Hendry quote team is at the
door. He did very well in the UK. We'll put it at that.
Yeah. He's doing very well all over the world. And I'm like, in his own merit, to me, this is a great way to transition him without making him have to do something so drastic that's so far out, like a blood and guts match, you know what I mean? Or something like that. To me, this is fantastic. And Kazarian, you're about to get beat up. And this is the perfect guy to do it. Because for someone not in the design, not the design, oof. For someone not in the system, we sure hate you too. Remember when you were yelling at Jade and Gia? I remember. Beat him up, Joe Hendry. Beat him up.
There's also something very interesting in that CM Punk, during his time off, his injury time off, has been spending most of his time at the PC and around NXT talent. And right now, TNA and NXT are working together, and Ace Steele is certainly welcome around WWE. He's not contracted to them, but there's a synergy there that comes with it. And Joe Hendry, obviously, a lot of wrestling fans are talking about him in this crossover era. So he's over with the NXT crowd. He's over with the TNA crowd. Whatever you can do to make Joe Hendry work, this is a good first step, in my opinion. I don't think he needed to stand alone. I think having someone represent him, he doesn't need to be a full-time manager, Ace Steele. I just think he needs to make sure that he gets over the importance of Joe Hendry being a serious top-level wrestler.
And I think even, and maybe
he fucking this burns people at the last second in a promo. Sorry.
I'm hoping, or maybe this is me looking too much into it, that if you are someone who is going to be like, well, he did all of these things, maybe this is a chance for you to change your opinion about people. It's wrestling. People move on and people are allowed to change. And I've heard of worse things happening, for real, for real. This is not the worst. Let people move on. And if this is a good way to make it, you know what, to make it whatever, I'm with it. Because I love Joe Hendry and I want it to succeed and I want Ace Steele to succeed. So why not? Why not? Let people get their money.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all going to end up with a King of the Mountain match at Slammiversary anyway. I believe in I want Joe to show up on Tuesday, by the way, in that Battle Royal.
If that happens, when I tell you, I normally don't watch NXT on Tuesdays because my brain can only take so much wrestling 7 days of the week.
Facts.
But I am a Joe Hendry stan. I want this man, him and Jordynne Grace. Him, Jordynne Grace, and Zelina Vega have a special place in my heart. I don't know these people from a can of paint, but I want them to succeed so bad in life that I would start watching freaking NXT. I would do it. I would do it. I would do it.
I was thinking about this the other day, and it's not a negative, but it's just one of the things that I wish wasn't the case was that NXT Heatwave is before Slammiversary. And the Battle Royal is for a spot at Heatwave challenging for the NXT championship. I really wanted someone like Joe Hendry to have an NXT championship match, a standout championship match at Slammiversary. Instead, had Slammiversary come first. Doesn't need to win. He just needs to have a very strong showing against a top champion. But it's not the way it's looking. However, if he has a good showing in a Battle Royal and maybe gets taken out by nefarious means, I'm pretty sure people will be okay with that. Listen, if the Scottish guy gets taken out by the Scots in Gallus, now we're going.
Listen, I will say that I've only seen clips of what happened at the end of the Jordynne Grace Roxanne Perez match. I'm angry. And I feel like I respect why they did what they did, but I don't know if my heart can take that a second time. You know what I mean?
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes when we get to the Ash by Elegant Squash and the Jordynne Grace promo. July is shaping up to be a very fun month. I'm looking forward to being at Money in the Bank, representing Fightful, and of course, at Slammiversary in Montreal, doing the same thing. Plenty of wrestling coming up. System, Hardy Compound. Here we go. Something was crackling. I think it's rain. Okay, sorry. You liked this.
I loved this, in fact. I just need to go blow my nose if you give me 1 second, because I'm so congested.
All right, here we are. John Albert's here.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Feel like, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to do something I don't always do. No, I'm not going to do it. That'd be stupid. Joel, don't do it. Instead, I'm going to talk to you about why I didn't love this. I said it earlier. I didn't love that this ended up being essentially a fever dream. Okay? I didn't love that this was a lot like other compound matches, experiences, something. I liked the comedy. I liked that there was the way that it was supposed to look. It looked like a Hardy Compound scene. I liked the way it was shot. I liked the way it looked. And it had a lot of good stuff to it. And I want to bring on someone who's very close to us. And I said we'd have a disagreement. And I hope you don't mind, Crest the Star. He's going to join us by audio. But the one and only John Alba is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
In my brain, I'm always introducing. It's morning.
Good morning. Hello, friends. Not trying to hijack your show. I mean, you sent me this link for the record.
I did. because I wanted this conversation to happen with someone who is well connected to Matt. Sure. And has these conversations, and I know sure. You talked about it on the podcast as well, and you were also promoting it as something to watch. And listen, like I said, it was shot very well. It was very fun. Tell you now, it wasn't for me.
Well, what I said was, if you love the Hardy, Broken Hardy universe stuff, if you love the Compound stuff, you're going to love it. And I think that's kind of the nature of how this stuff goes with him at this juncture. And I think Matt's approach is much more aimed at someone like Miss Star over here, who, you know, Matt loves the quote unquote, the casual fan who's, you know, not necessarily super in the weeds of, I see what I did there, of some other of the more intense elements of it. And it is the definition of sports entertainment for sure. I mean, I'll tell you this, Joel, when I saw it, he said to me, he's like, "You totally hated it, didn't you?" And I was just like, "No, I didn't hate it," because I knew exactly going in what it was going to be. And I kind of expected it to be exactly what we saw.
I want to know, Cressa, I'm curious, because you mentioned earlier in the crossover that you haven't watched any other Broken Universe stuff before. This was the first time you've seen it.
Interesting.
And so that's why I'm really interested in your take on this. So go ahead. Let me have it. Let's hear it.
At first, I was sports confused. Then I was sports entertained. And then, as again, I said this in the crossover, as a fine connoisseur of drag, this was camp. Oh my God, this was so funny. This made no sense and didn't have to. It didn't have to. Why was Eddie Edwards a wolf? Because he was the lone wolf. Open up your third eye. Why did Alicia Edwards get beheaded? Because she's annoying and she's from Boston. Who cares? I'm from New York. Who cares? Who got beheaded? Again, this was a fever dream. Great. Another murder on TNA. This was funny. Ryan Myers getting beat up by all of his demons.
The shit was fun. That was good.
It was so funny.
Corny as hell, but it was fun.
At some point, it's one of those things where it's like, bro, not everything has to make sense. And I choose to be sports entertained. And I was very thoroughly sports. It was funny. And then again, like Super Mario Brothers 2, you wait. Oh, it was a dream. So wait, you're mad that Alicia didn't get beheaded?
Listen,
it was great. I loved it.
See, it's funny. You say it didn't make sense. I think everything in it actually made sense. It's just, it was... You know, it was corny. It was over the top corny, and that's what it was intended to be. And that's not going to be for everyone, and that's totally fine. You know, I think this stuff in small doses is good. I don't think it's something that you want to inundate your television show with. But you know, it's funny, Cressa, because like, I mean, if this is the first one you're seeing, like Joel, you'll probably agree with me. I'd say this is like, of all the cinematic stuff with the Hardys, this is probably like a C tier compared to like some of the, like, I mean, the final deletion is legitimately like game changing stuff. Tag Team Apocalypto is one of the most entertaining things you're ever going to see. The Great War was fantastic stuff. Like, that was all definitely significantly above this. But, you know, I'm biased because I've gotten to know the family so well, and like seeing the kids have their moments, and like Gothic Baby, you'll hear it on this week's podcast, but Gothic Baby now, whenever someone like arrives at the door to drop something off, she like force pushes them like she did in that. So like she got it over with herself. She popped herself with it. And like, hey, Maxwell did like a sweet looking leg drop from the ladder on that. So, you know, you can't take this stuff super seriously. And I thought it was cute. You know,
it's funny because like as someone who has a kid, I really do appreciate that Matt wanted to get all the kids involved, and he wanted to make, because they're part of this whole House Hardy stuff. It's fun. At the same time, as someone who hates child actors, like, I'm watching this and I'm just like, I can't do like a child doing a poltergeist thing. I can't do it, you know? So for me, it was like, man, I appreciate and I respect Matt for doing this and making a moment that him and his family are going to look back on and like really love and cherish together. And then like the other part of me was just like, yeah, but why did the kids have to like...
Well, I think it's because Maxwell was such an integral part of all the early stuff.
Yes, yes.
You know, like Crest of the thing is like, if you go back and watch the stuff, Maxwell was 1 year old when all that stuff was happening. And he, as a baby, was like a character within this Broken Universe. I mean, he pinned Disco Inferno, which was a win for everyone. And you know, like it was a legit thing. And I think that's why he sees the kids integrated into this. And you know, say what you want, Gothic Baby is like a legit draw. Like, she does signings and shit. Like, I mean, it's like pretty incredible.
I follow Gothic Baby on TikTok. Yeah. I follow Revy on TikTok. Listen, Revy's makeup always looks great, so I'm always looking.
Yeah. So
I sat there and I was like, the way they played off Lish and Revy was that so many people spent so many hours saying, oh, those two, they're going to tear each other apart when they see each other. And just the way they did it in this interaction was, that was well done.
Who's to say that's the last of it you'll see, you know?
And considering it was all a dream, it's probably not the first or the last time.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I just, because I'm associated with Matt, doesn't mean like I'm like, oh my God, all this is amazing. Look, it was a cute little TV segment. It was harmless for what it was. I told him his missed opportunity was when Moose came out of the lake as number 69. I was like, broken Matt not screaming, nice, like in his broken Matt. I said, that was a big missed opportunity there. But, you know, I mean, the crazy thing is they film all that stuff in one night, you know, and like they shoot till 5 a.m. and then. I heard Moose didn't even get a chance to like shower after going into the lake. He had to like get to the airport ASAP. So like, you know, props to all them for doing that. And you know, it's a small production crew. It's not like this is a big production crew doing something like this. So, you know, that's a 13-minute mini movie they did. And yeah, I mean, kudos to all involved. It's not going to be for everyone, Joel, but if there's someone, if one person like Cresta over here is sports entertained, then
very, I was heavily sports entertained. I want to now go back and watch that, maybe in chronological, maybe watch the boppers first, then go back in chronological order.
Yeah,
I know what I'm expecting now, I know what I'm getting into. A lot of people I've heard it saying that it's bad, don't even waste your time. But now that I know what I'm getting into, and if you guys said this is a C tier, oh,
no, like legitimately, and Joel, I think you'd agree with this. Like, I mean, the final deletion changed wrestling, and and like the pandemic, like the Undertaker doesn't have his last match without the final deletion. I mean, it's crazy in that sense. And, you know, you see more and more Easter eggs. Like, I actually thought the coolest thing about this segment was for the first time ever, we went into their childhood home, which was their legit childhood home in that, which was Gilbert Hardy's, you know, their dad. That was his house that is on the compound. And, I thought that was just a cool little Easter egg, you know, that's the compound is a character in all this stuff. And I think that's all very interesting. But yeah, that's just kind of my thoughts on it. And I suspect that they're going to have a pretty interesting next week or so, the Hardys.
We're going to talk about that in just a second, but I don't want to take up too much more of your time, John. Go ahead, plug your stuff and let people know where they can find everything.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing me in. You can check out the Extreme Life of Matt Hardy dropping at 6 a.m. We talk all about this match, or this segment, I should say, and address some of the rumor and innuendo. We taped it a couple days ago. I had a chance to see the segment beforehand, and yeah, I mean, it's great stuff. And, you know, the one thing I will always say, Matt is a very transparent person, and I think he recognizes that this stuff is not going to be for everyone, but I'm proud of him for the shape that he's in. He's in excellent shape right now, and I think him and Moose are going to have a match that I think will surprise people. I think it will be much better than what people are going to put out there on the internet, you know, and it'll be fun. So, yeah, good stuff, guys. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Thank you, John.
See ya.
Take care. John.
Thank you. Oh, quick. He's fast.
He is fast. He just knows to just cut it off before anyone. Okay, now let's bury the shit out of it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But seriously, thank you to John Alba for joining us. He does host The Extreme Life of Matt Hardy. Go check that out if you want to know more about what's been going on, not only House Hardy, but also with Matt's TNA return. And of course, may as well get to it now. For the best $5 in the business, Fightful Select reported Jeff Hardy is going to be a free agent as of Friday. PW Insider did report, and Fightful Select was able to confirm that TNA is in talks with Jeff Hardy. One could assume that you're going to see the aforementioned Hardy at tomorrow night's Chicago Against All Odds event. If that happens, Crest the Star, your thoughts on a Hardy Boys reunion in TNA?
I feel, and this is me being a Hardy Boys apologist, these guys have done so much for wrestling. Let these boys frolic together as many times as they want together. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Motor City Machine Guns are not there right now. And I feel like we need an elder team role that can still go and do the matches. So I will accept this. Let them frolic together. Like if Edge and Christian want to get together, let them frolic together. That's how I feel about it.
My general feeling is if Jeff is healthy and Jeff is good, and you know what, I think most people know what that means, then yeah, go for it.
That's fair as well. I just think Matt being there helps too.
Yeah. Again, your sibling can only do so much for you when it comes to a lot of things. That being said, I'd be excited to see the Hardy Boys do this one last time, do their last run. If Jeff's good and Jeff is healthy and Jeff is good to go, and whatever that means for Jeff Hardy, great. That being said, I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Hardys challenge for the tag titles against the System at Slammiversary instead, which is like,
I wouldn't hate it, but I would laugh.
We're splitting off. Like we're getting the Nemeths this month and then you get the Hardys next month. And it's just a really like, what happened? The tag division needs a little bit more. The Nemeths are new, and we're going to talk about that in the main event and what that kind of did to ABC and the other tag teams that are in the division. But you bring in the Hardys, they have, you know, they can do the Expedition of Gold gimmick or whatever. I don't necessarily want the Hardys to revisit everything and rehash everything, but like go out, do your TNA thing, maybe win the tag titles, maybe not. Again, the System is just so dominant and not taking away from the product for me. I'm not sitting here being like, oh God, I'm so sick of the System. No, I like the way the promos are shot for the System. I like the way that they're presented. I like the way they wrestle for the most part. Like they work. Okay. So for me, having the Hardys join into the tag division, that's fine. It's a good addition to a babyface side of the tag teams that are needed.
I agree. And again, we talked about this week after week, and even in this show already, the System works in the sense that nobody likes them. They're not bad wrestlers, but they are doing their job. You are heels. You are lucky this was a dream. Like, people genuinely dislike you. Like, if you think about it, that was real, how much time and effort Matt Hardy had to have been just in Brian Myers alone to do that and set that up just to mess with you, and how angry to continuously set that up. Nobody likes you guys. That's crazy. He turned one of you guys into a wolf. That's crazy.
An American wolf, no less. There was like, it was camp. It was silly. It was fine. You know what? I'll say it like this. And I don't think anyone from TNA who might be listening is going to be upset by me saying this. I put out that tweet going into the 20th anniversary TNA Impact show last week about inviting streamers to watch and react to the first Hardy's deletion show that they did in Impact at the time, and how that was a big thing and it was a polarizing moment. But the idea being that we're going to take all these content creators who don't necessarily watch Impact, and we're going to get their reaction to this completely out of the box camp, whatever you want to call it, production that we're doing with the Hardys. And the reactions were like everything Cresta said tonight, honestly. And it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, this is you reacted exactly the way people did when they first saw any Hardy compound video. So for me, knowing last week that they invited streamers who don't necessarily watch TNA to start watching TNA and stream it on their platforms, and they were invited to do it, that's how I knew, like, they're going to do a Hardy thing and they're going to do a compound thing, because these people don't know, and they're going to get the reactions, and the reactions are going to get shown. And it's like, that's business. That is part of the wrestling business in 2024 in the streaming world. And like, TNA Impact used to be on Twitch. You can simulcast on Twitch. This is just their start of trying to get new fans in a new creative way by using an old technique that worked for them 7 years ago.
Well, it worked on me, pal.
That's fine.
I am the target audience, or as some people would call, a mark.
That's fine, because you know what? I talked about this on another show, the AJ Styles fake out retirement. There were people who thought that was real, or that it was going to be real. They thought that he was going to retire and that was going to be a thing. Not everyone watches wrestling, you know, starting in 1999. Not everyone started in 2009. Not everyone started in 2019. Like, there is different times for wrestling. So everyone joins when they join, and they jump on and off in some cases. Not everyone has been watching as much as I watch, which for better or worse, that's how I've consumed. I'm a completionist. So really the answer to this is wrestling has to finally end so that I can continue with my life.
Never, Simba. All right.
Ash by Elegance defeats Jada Stone. I love that they gave Jada Stone a little bit of like promo time when George Sorry, the personal assistant to Ash by Elegance, came out, then said, get out of the ring. And then Ash, she shows up. They talk about her at Battleground. Commentary argues about why she was there. And then you have Rosemary watching on from the stands. With everything going on ahead of Against All Odds tomorrow night, Jordynne Grace did have a promo afterwards saying, anyone from any company, it's an open challenge, go ahead and do it. Ash wins with rarefied air. Rosemary has a shiv. That's worth remembering. The Tatum Paxley stuff, it's really starting to feel like Tatum Paxley is going to be the challenger, and that Tatum and Rosemary might start working together. And I could see Jordynne Grace and Ash by Elegance having to form a Macklin and Santana-esque team, not the same, but different, in that they're forced to team together for the sake of overcoming the evil, weird, dark forces of Tatum Paxley and Rosemary. Go ahead.
I'm closing my eyes because I want that reality to not. What Ash by Elegance is. I don't know what the character's point of view is. And every time I think I begin to get it, I personally agree with commentary with what Tom Hannifin said. You going over to NXT, you know, however you feel about her, how you feel about her, but you messing up what could have been a historic moment is a little egregious. Like, I agree with that. Like, sis, what are you doing? I don't want to see her tag with Jordynne Grace. I don't care. I feel like there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. Maybe it's me. It's me, Jesus. Maybe it's me. I don't know anything about Tatum Paxley to give you my two cents. I don't watch NXT. I need a day not to watch wrestling because it's wrestling literally 7 days a week. I love you all. Please respect me. So I don't know. I don't know how this shakes out. I did find it curious that she mentioned a lot of companies, but not AEW.
I mean, it's not going to be AEW.
I know, but still, I mean, like, I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be CMLL either. She did say that, but I don't think it's going to be that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Chisholm adds in, it's funny how Jordynne Grace said everyone but AEW.
Okay, that wasn't crazy. Okay, all right.
Whatever. Everyone knows that the expectation is it's someone from NXT. If it's Tatum Paxley, listen, there are going to be people who are like, oh, who's this? Or, you know, TNA is losing in this partnership. And here's the reality of it. Slammiversary is months away. I'm starting to think that it's Jordynne versus either Rosemary or Ash by Elegance, or they do a three-way, whatever it is. But do we get there by having some sort of Tatum Paxley Rosemary unholy alliance, and then Jordynne Grace and Ash have to do some sort of partner match in one of the tapings, and that sets up Ash by Elegance and Jordynne Grace? Like, there is a way to make it work, but it should be Becky Lynch. It should be Becky Lynch challenging. That's where it should be.
I mean, I'll be real with you. TNA right now is in a good position. I feel like in their WWE TNA thing, they've got someone like Joe Hendry and Jordynne Grace at the helm. Two people who look great, talk great, whatever. Again, I don't know anything about this young girl, Tatum Paxley. I wish her the best. I'm sorry if I saw her in the street. My apologies. So we'll see how it works out. Like I said, I wanted to see, oh my God, what's that girl's name? Laya Valkyria, I feel like she just challenged for something, and I don't watch NXT, but I seen that girl wrestle one time. I was like, oh, that girl, that's me.
So Lyra, just for anyone who doesn't know, Lyra Valkyria was the NXT Women's Champion, defeated Becky Lynch, and is now on Raw. She was recently in the finals of the Queen of the Ring tournament. She lost to Nia Jax, but has been, you know, doing really well on Monday Night Raw. I would love to see Lyra. I don't think it's going to be Lyra, but when she was NXT champion, Lyra Valkyria's best friend was Tatum Paxley. Tatum was a little creepy girl who was, you know, getting in the way, and then Tatum turned on Lyra and they just did a blow off while Lyra went back up to main roster after she dropped the NXT Women's Championship to Roxanne Perez, right? I think so. Anyway, the point being here, Tatum Paxley and Lyra are actually connected and you're not too far off.
It's also giving Mickey James vibes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They were not doing single white female. They were kind of doing, that was the name of the storyline. It was called single white female. They were doing more like a friends getting creepy, like wanting gold. It was a, I don't know how to explain it. It
Killer Kelly?
No, no. Killer Kelly was kinky. That was different.
Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right. Okay, but I don't know. I don't have the other one for reference. So I guess you're right. We'll take your word for it.
Will Chisholm saying, I would feel some type of way if I'm TNA. I mean, they send Io Sky to Marigold in July. I don't want people to think that this partnership is going to be a one-to-one. And also, we don't know how entrenched TNA is going to be with NXT. I continue to remind people we have seen one crossover talent. And that's Jordynne Grace. And I understand that there is a high potential that on Tuesday we will be seeing TNA talent in NXT. However, given the way that Cody said it, other locker rooms can include Raw or SmackDown, and we could all just be reading way too far into this. For the NXT, they're doing a battle royal for the NXT championship match at the next NXT PLE. But also, I'm just leaving it alone until I see who comes out tomorrow, and that'll kind of set the tone for me when it comes to this TNA NXT stuff. Anything to
My add? Internet is dying. I am so sorry. The whole time you were talking, it sounded like Mr. Roboto, and I'm praying that I'm not disconnecting and lagging right now. That's why you see my head in my hands.
No, you've been fine. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you now, but everything you said, I heard every other word. I am so sorry. The worst co-host NA.
No, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Let's get to the main event. Ryan and Nick Nemeth defeat Ace of Base. This is not surprising. I don't love that Ace of Base have to eat the pin. And they have to eat the pin because the Nemeths are a new team that are getting a tag title shot. But I understand that the importance of getting the Nemeths over include beating a former tag team champion. That being said, Ryan Nemeth does a front knickknack, which I think we'll call the Rick-knack, and then Nick does the regular knickknack for the win. Nemeth's win going into tomorrow night. Crest of Star, your thoughts?
I'll never recover from the front ring. I'll never recover.
It's the Rick-knack. It can't be the Rick-knack because he's not Ryan Nemeth.
Oh, my God. Joel Pearl, you're a menace to wrestling society, and I don't know who let you have a microphone. Okay. All right. So just like now, my internet was dying during this match, so my notes are super minimal. I will say I did not like Ace of Base losing to the Nemeth Bros. I understand it. I understood why it happened. They worked over Chris Bay OD in the beginning, and then at the end, Nick Nemeth was getting really worked over, which I get to show his resilience, or a caveat in case he loses to Moose tomorrow, because he was really getting beat in that last third. But in the same vein of sprucing up your tag divisions, to me, it does not make sense to have ABC lose here. I would have rather another team. You know, it furthers two storylines, so you kill two birds with one stone, so I totally get it. But it's just, I understand, but I don't like it.
That's fair, and I fully get that. Again, the Nemeths are challenging for the tag titles tomorrow. Ace of Base are going to have a match against Eric Young and Josh Alexander. It's a very unexpected tag team match that they threw together for the show to get people on the card. But yeah, ABC are just kind of here and former champions that decided to be cannon fodder for Nemeths. That's what it is. It is what it is.
I mean, I want to say this as a joke, but even I feel bad saying this, so never mind.
Okay, then. Are you sure? Final answer?
Well, I guess Motor City machine guns are gone, so somebody's got to do it so it wouldn't hurt too bad.
We don't know where the Motor City machine guns are anymore. Jonna sends a super chat saying, I miss Mickey James a lot. That sixth championship reign would come so easily right now with the state of the division. Induct her into the TNA Hall of Fame while we're at it. I mean, Bound for Glory is the time when they normally do the inductions. I would love to see Mickey get in. I don't know if I necessarily want to see Mickey jump in and win another championship right away. I liked the last rodeo. You and I got to cover it from top to bottom. I think that may have been just the perfect way for her to finish up in TNA. But we'll see. Oh, no, didn't she drop the title because she was injured?
I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, the last rodeo ended
Rebellion.
Because she got injured.
That's right.
So I wouldn't be upset, not so much if it was a title reign, but hear me out, and I'm putting on my jabroni hat.
Do it.
I would not be upset at an eventual Giselle Shaw knockout champion win, followed by Mickey James coming to pick up what she never lost.
That's fair, because you can't have Deonna back. And Deonna, of course, was the one who won. Yeah, they did the Rebellion match.
And I think there'll be enough time between now and then, even to give Giselle two or three opponents before Mickey comes back. I don't know if Mickey took time off because she was injured or whatever have you, but I feel like that gives Giselle enough time to rebrand this character. If she wants to do something with Gail, cool. And that thing following up with Gail could be Mickey. And that's a very dominant 1-2 punch if you're going to push her as the face of your division. I'm not saying that right now because Jordynne Grace is doing some fantastic stuff.
Yeah, she is. I'm not ready to end the Jordynne Grace reign, but I don't know what comes next for her once she does, you know, finish it up. We'll see. We'll see.
We shall see.
Against All Odds is tomorrow night. We will be live doing a post show here on youtube.com/Fightful. You want to give predictions real quick on this?
Let's do a spitfire.
Oh, they're not on the card, but here the Knockouts tag titles are on the line. Masha Lisha take on the Hex. New champs or no?
I don't want to say that it's too soon for the design. Jesus Christ, crush the star, please. That same guys, different face. I don't think it is too soon for them to drop the tag titles. However, I do think that it's going to be a poor night for the system. I think we get new champs, and kudos to your mama.
All right, then. The Hex are going to win?
Yes. I'm sorry. I don't know if I made that clear. My apologies. Yes. The Hex are going to win. I think we're getting new champs. Yes. Sorry.
I'm fine with the Hex winning. Like I said, bring them into Slammiversary, do the Spitfire match, or do a Knockouts Tag Team Championship Ultimate X match and make it real messy.
We could do that to a Smosh Fest. Yep.
All about it. Jonathan Gresham, speaking of Smosh Fest, Sami Callihan, Jonathan Gresham, Inc. versus Immune System.
All I can think of is that meme. Disgusted. It must have been one of us. Disgusted. When he said, yo, Ink versus Immune System. But then, and maybe again, this is me reading too much into it. In the background, you see it flashing, him coughing up in the mirror. Him saying something like, you sound like you dying too, bro. And the white mask isn't gone unnoticed by me. This man's playing with portals. I don't know. I'm only giving it to Gresham. I think I like this push. I like it getting creepy and weird. And yes, his immune system is strong, but I got this skull, man. And you can't, I don't know. I want to give it to Gresham.
I think it's Gresham. I think we're going to keep building him, and he might be Speedball's first big challenger if Speedball wins the X Division Championship.
I could see that.
PCO takes on Richard Swan with AJ Francis. First class, PCO wins.
Why the hell Richard Swan? Well, now why he in this? Why is one Mr. Swan in? Now why is he in this?
Because AJ Francis ain't gonna be in it. Let Rich Homie take care of it.
PCO wins this. I see a schmoz trying to happen maybe a schmoz could happen, but I see AJ getting spooky Leduca'd. Why Rich Homie Swan in this?
I think PCO gets the win just so they can do the Steph DeLander, I'm going to date you, let's get married scenario. Joe Hendry with Ace Steel takes on Frankie Kazarian. I'm looking forward to this match. They're really heating up Joe Hendry, man. What do you think between those two?
I love it. If for some reason, some way, somehow, Joe Hendry takes it off Moose, who beats a bunch of people who we're really into, I'm here for it. Kazarian's about to get a well-justified beating. I did not forget you yelling at Jade and Gia, especially yelling at Jade to call you the king. Kings don't yell. You're a jerk, okay? So, Joe Hendry, I can't wait for this buff man, no singing songs, but I'm still going to beat you up. I live. Joe Hendry.
The ABC match is not on the card anymore. Oh, there it is. It's back. That's so weird. Josh Alexander and Eric Young versus the ABC.
That's such an odd match.
Isn't it? Especially because ABC just lost.
Is this the match we break up the ABC?
I don't hate it. I mean, Alexander and Young aren't exactly doing anything else at the moment. They could continue teaming up for a little while.
I'm thinking that too. And it's like, technically, you would be losing to two Franken teams or two teams that don't team regularly. You got the brothers who never teamed before, but whatever, they're brothers. And Alexander and Young, they were on Team Canada a million years ago. Am I mistaken with that?
Josh wasn't, but EY was.
Okay, so again, we're losing again essentially to another Franken team. I've had it. Bay took the pin here, but then you pinned me. I could see it. But again, I don't think we need to be getting rid of tag teams. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't be against them telling the story of, we can't beat makeshift tag teams who are superstars that just kind of come together. So maybe it's time for us to go away.
And yeah.
Get back together later on. And then you let Josh and Eric Young kind of join the tag team division as baby faces to go after the system again. Let ABC go do other stuff.
That'd be cute.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it to Alexander and Young and let this be the fraction in ABC.
I hate it, but that's a good idea. I hate it. But I understand.
Yeah. Rascals take on Mike Santana and Steve Macklin. This match has the potential to be the match of the night. It can steal the show. I'm leaning towards Santana and Macklin. Let the Rascals, you know, look good in defeat, but also look like little bitches in the best way possible. But Macklin and Santana get the win, shake hands, go their separate way, or just shake hands and then, you know, punch each other in the mouth or something.
I too vote for Santana and Macklin. The little demon on my shoulder says the Rascals cheat to win. We love a good cheater. And because they cheat to win, Santana and Macklin are now double pissed because now I'm in a situation that I don't want to be in. We both said one and done, and you sprayed me in the face, and now I punch Macklin, and now I'm pissed, and now I want to do a cage match for no hope. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be upset with that, but I'm also, again, I would like Macklin and Santana to win this one.
I think that's the way to go. Have Santana and Macklin move up by moving on and getting the win. Then we're done with the Rascals with the Macklin story. Move on to the next. Speaking of moving on to the next, Mustafa Ali and Trent Seven for the X Division Championship. Ali's going to get a huge hometown pop. Campaign Singh and Mike Bailey are banned from ringside in this match. I feel like Ali's going to get the win.
And Ali, we trust. This match is going to be a slobber knocker. If that tag match has the potential to be the match of the night, so does this one. This match is going to cook. Now, we may be overlooking Trent Seven, but Trent Seven is going to slap the chest meat off of Ali, and I can't wait.
Now, with those two men banned from ringside, Secret Service, you notice, is not.
I thought that wording was very peculiar.
As did I, so we'll be keeping an eye on that. The system take on Ryan and Nick Nemeth for the TNA tag titles.
I could see it. I could see a hot shot decision here. I could see it. Nobody likes the system. And the system, to their credit, to their merit, they're doing their job. No one is supposed to like this system. You've done a great job of making people like, yo, give us those titles. Give us those titles. Give us those titles. And maybe the Hardy compound was the mind F that they needed to drop all the titles tonight. Or all the ones that they're defending, rather.
Yeah, I think the system are going to win.
Okay, work, Diva. I don't think that. I think it's the Nemes brothers.
That's fair. I think the system we're going to retain, and we're still working on them as the tag champions. They're building some baby faces. They're building more baby faces than they are heel tag teams. But I like that.
Maybe I'm a hater. Maybe it's because I don't like the system. Maybe I don't trust the system.
You're supposed to love and respect them, but hate them for the performance that they... Yeah, anyway, Jordynne Grace, TNA Knockouts World Championship Open Challenge. We talked about it earlier. We don't know who it is. Feels like Jordynne Grace would get the win, and then we start moving towards the next chapter.
I agree. I unfortunately don't know who it's going to be. I'm sure it's going to be a banger of a match, but whoever it is going to lose. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to that young lady.
I think given the amount of matches that are already on the card and the stories that are being told, this is one that's just going to be a beat in a storyline. I don't expect it to be a fantastic, amazing 10 out of 10 match. I just expect a good story. That's kind of where I'm keeping it, because if this is part of the TNA NXT story and their partnership, if it's Tatum Paxley, great. That'll start the Rosemary and the Ash by Elegance stuff. There's something in the pot that's cooking over there.
Fair. I'll accept it.
And finally, a broken rules match for the TNA World Championship. Matt Hardy versus Moose. Jeff Hardy comes back at the end of the night after Moose has already retained his championship. And then they do the delete together. Yes. Brother Nero, I knew you'd come. And everyone's excited because Jeff Hardy's back.
I agree with that outcome. I was going to say, unfortunately, Moose comes back, and in true Jeff Hardy fashion, a dollar too late while he does his dance up the ramp. I think Moose retains here. I think it's going to be a fun match if this... it's an in-ring match. Never mind what I was going to say. I'm excited for it. Put it like that.
Jeff joins the system and says, "That's for not letting me be in the latest Hardy compound video."
That's crazy. Throw him in the lake of reincarnation. He's wilding. Send him back. Send him back.
Exactly. Listen, it'll be a good night. Looking forward to Against All Odds tomorrow. Again, we're going to be live here on youtube.com/Fightful. And of course, on all the audio platforms where you leave your 5-star reviews. If you haven't already, this show went very long today because we had plenty to talk about. Thanks again to John Alba for joining us, talking about the Hardy compound stuff. Crest the Star, what you got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, like Blackpink, I'm going to be all in your area on Fightful. Tomorrow, if I wake up crossing all of my fingers and toes, I will try to be on Grab City at 12. They're doing it special early because of Clash at the Castle. On Saturday, you will catch me and Rickuccino on Collision. It's our 1-year anniversary. Can you believe you've been doing Collision for a year? That's
CM Punk, believe it?
Madness. Listen, they've killed lesser cockroaches in more time or something or whatever the quote goes. Anyway, you can find me over on the platform formerly known as Twitter X. I don't know what it's called now. At Cresta the Star, like Megan Thee Stallion. There's a link tree in my bio. Follow me there. Twitter, TikTok, everywhere but Facebook, because I don't have that. I'm out of words. Joel Pearl, where can they find you?
I'm easy to find. I am at Joel Pearl, JOELPEARL. You catch me in the weeds Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. Go ahead and drop a thumbs up on the video. And of course, subscribe to our youtube.com/Fightful channel. Cresta and I are back tomorrow night for Against All Odds. And until then, I will see you all in the next one. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, that's the words that I use. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Goodbye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.